I don't know. I listen to like the woo-woo too. And so that's also another thing is that they think that they're going to take out, that they want to take out the small businesses and use the land for bigger purposes.
You know, that's something that I had not even thought about, but that is so fascinating. Like that, until you had said that, I was just like, that had never crossed my mind, but like, that is such a good point.
Yeah. And I think more now than ever, I think this is a time to build an online business.
Good magical morning, my beautiful royals. How are all of you doing? I have definitely been struggling with some very intense, I guess, anxiety and depression over quarantine, which is one reason this podcast has been so hard to do during this time frame, you know. And that's something that I think I'm gonna really touch base on in the future. Is talking about dealing with depression and anxiety during this time, especially as a business owner, because I feel like during this whole time frame where everyone else is just trying to find things to do, I, as a business owner, have been busier than ever because I'm trying to keep a business alive. So I apologize for the delay. I'm so sorry that there's been no episodes for like 2 months. But here we are, we're hopping back on this bandwagon. We're gonna get it started, and we are going to continue to put out content for you guys so that you guys can stay magical and royal and enjoy listening to the business side of this industry. So, without further ado, let's go talk to Natalie.
So my name is Natalie and I own Bells Enchantment Princess Parties and I also own Black Cat Studio, technically LA County, and then I'm also currently working on launching a coaching business. So I started Bells Enchantment in 2013. It was a very I was at a very low point in my life and I really didn't know what I wanted to do. I always knew that I wanted a business. And then I always really loved performing as well. In high school, I did musical theater and I fell in love with it. So I was at a really low point in my life, and someone commented on one of my Instagram photos, and I was in the Beast Library at Disneyland, Disney California Adventure. And they said, I showed my friends your photos and videos, and they all think you're like a real life princess and you should do princess parties. But the funny thing with that is that when I was 16, my mom had made me a village belle dress. And she told me, like, you should do birthday parties. And I was like, no, I don't want to be a party princess. Party princesses are more like ratchet. If you're not like the real thing, if you're not a Disney princess, like, I don't want to do it. So I was 20.
That's a whole mood.
It really is. So when I was 23 and my friend commented that, something sparked in me for some reason. And I just kind of sat on the thought. And I'm like, okay, I'm going to do this. I don't know why that comment just sparked something in me. And so I remember, so the thing with starting Bells Enchantment, the way I started, people, I mean, listening and watching and reading all of the comments that people put in the forums, I think I went against what people, how people, say you should start a party industry, a party business. So I went into the kitchen and I looked at my parents because I was still at home and I said, Mom and Dad, I want to start a business. And they're like, what do you want to start? I'm like, I want to start a party entertainment company. And they're like, no, you don't. And I'm like, no, I really do. And they're like, okay, well, if you're serious, go back to your room, draw out your first dress, come back with a business name, and then we'll talk. And I was like, okay. So I went to my room and then I drew out my first belle dress. And then I came up with different names, and Bells Enchantment is the one that won. I went back to the kitchen and my parents looked at me like, oh, this girl is real. And so I looked at my dad. I'm like, Dad, I need money to start my business. And so he's like, okay, how much do you need? And I'm like, I need this much at least to get my first dress going, my wig. I need to do the legal stuff and I need business cards. And he's like, okay, cool. And so he gave me the money. The next day, I literally drove to interviewed different seamstresses, and then I took my happy butt to downtown LA, went to the LA Fabric District, and I started constructing Belle, and that's pretty much how Belle's Enchantment started. And I started with one princess, and as soon as I started to see a profit from that, then I started to add more characters. So that's how Bells Enchantment started. And then in 2016, we got a venue, a princess venue. And then I got over that real quick in about 2 years. And then I transformed it into what is now a Black Cat Studio, which is a creative space for creators.
I love that. No, I completely understand. My first business loan was also from my dad. So I completely understand. I was 19, did not know how money works, because I feel like your 20s are when you start to like figure out money for the first time. So it's like, didn't really know how money worked. And so my dad made me do a business plan. So I have a very similar story. My dad was just like, I need you to come up with a business plan. And so I had written and drafted a business plan probably about a year before like I officially started, because I was a senior in high school, and I had all of my different birthday parties that I would do and the different packages you could get and what each one included and like how each one would cost. And I separated all of them. And my dad was like, this is cute. He's like, you tried. And I was like, I worked hard on this. He's like, well, you did a pretty good job. So my first character was also Belle. Aww. So and she's who I started with. And I started with her because I had played Belle in Beauty and the Beast, and then started doing birthday parties from that before I decided to actually take it a step further and go like the nonprofit route, which that's a whole nother story. Mm-hmm. And definitely also got over that real fast. Not real fast. It took me a couple of years, but I definitely have been down that road. So tell me a little bit about your business and owning a venue and what that was like, and why for you it was not the right fit. Because I think that a lot of people within the party princess world, like, it's their dream to have a venue. Mm-hmm. And I think when you get to that point, a lot of times people turn around and realize it's not the dream that they thought. So I would love to hear from your perspective of what having a venue is like, and also why it was not a good fit for you personally.
So owning a venue, when I first started Bell's Enchantment, was a huge, huge dream of mine. I actually wanted to, before I even got the venue, I wanted to, my ultimate dream was to have sort of like a little mini, like, craftsman mansion. And upstairs would be the dressing room and the rehearsal room, and downstairs would be like the party venue area. So that was always my dream, and something with a yard that we can host like small birthday parties and people can rent out for like events. So that was like my ultimate goal. So with owning a venue, I think first and foremost, people really need to ask themselves, what is their end goal and what does their dream life look like? Because even though owning a venue was once my dream, when I got into it, I didn't realize how much work there was in maintaining a venue. So I always knew that I wanted to make a ton of money, but do the least amount of work. And having a venue, you make a lot of money, there's a ton of work that goes along with it. Instead of feeling like a business owner, I felt more like a slave to the princesses, because I was constantly hustling and I never really had time for me. And I wanted to explore other routes and other businesses, but being so engulfed into the venue didn't allow me to do that. I hated having to scrub the floors. I hated having to wash all of the tablecloths. I hated having to wash tea sets. The only thing I pretty much really enjoyed was doing the wigs. It was very therapeutic because I was able to sit down and listen to a podcast or watch an educational YouTube video while I was doing the wigs. So there was a lot of work that went into it, into setting up for a party and taking down after a party. And then also I had a really large cast. With having a princess venue, people really need to get clear whether if they're up for the task and they're up for the hard work, because owning a venue, even just having a party company, I feel like there's no end in sight, even though you have other people possibly managing it for you. If you are the owner and you are the boss, everything always comes back to you and falls on your shoulders. I've talked to multiple business owners that are very successful and make really good money off of their party princess and companies, but they tell me there's no end in sight. You will always run around with like a chicken without your head. And when I got that kind of like input from more senior owners in the industry, I said, no, this is not for me, especially with the venue. It was more of just figuring out that I just didn't like all of the hard work that came with it. I also didn't like having to manage such a large cast, and I just wanted to stay small.
No, I listen, as someone who also ran a venue, I helped open up the venue with my husband before I officially even came on the team. I was running our venue. I saw all of the work that went into it, and like I put so much of myself into it. And by the time we got ready to either leave or re-sign the lease, I was like, nah.
Yeah.
I was like, no. And a lot of it, like, again, I think I talked to Haley about this, but, you know, a lot of it had to do with like where the location of it was. And, you know, I was in the process of like moving up here full time and like living here. And it was just a whole lot of work. And like where I would like to have a venue again, I think eventually my dream is to have a venue. It's also to also double as a studio space for film.
Oh, and I like that.
Also to, yeah, especially now that everything is kind of like online. So to double as like a space for film as well as doing weddings, because weddings are something that I've always been super passionate about. Like even before I was married, before I even thought that I would be married, I loved weddings. I helped people plan weddings. And that's how I ended up in the kind of like the event industry. I work for a wedding company in Cleveland that I help them do a lot of side work. And they're always like, hey, you want to come help us do this? And I'm like, yes, let me come help. I love weddings. So I think that's my ultimate dream. But yeah, people don't understand the amount of work that goes into doing it, especially now with COVID, that if live events ever picks back up again, which it will, but like when it picks back up again, like you're going to have to triple and double your work, because what you thought you were doing in between regular parties and events, you're going to have to triple that, because you're going to have to sanitize everything.
Absolutely. And then I also wanted to piggyback off of the whole venue thing. I think also, because you mentioned location, I think where you're located has a lot to do with whether your venue will succeed too, if it's something that you're looking into doing.
Because 100%.
Here in Southern California, the amount of competition that there is here is insane. Incredibly insane. And it's so expensive here. I was also going to say that a venue would be perfect for someone, especially like you, that's very much into events and birthday parties and event planning and wedding planning. I found out very quickly that that was not my jam. I don't know why I thought owning a venue was going to be something that would be sunshine and rainbows all of the time, but it definitely wasn't. There's so much work that goes into it. And then I also found out very quickly that birthday parties are not my passion. Princesses were my passion for so long, and I kind of feel like I'm on my way out already. But the only thing that ever really kept me going was just more of the princesses, because I felt like that was always very me. So I think someone that wants a venue, if they're into event planning and wedding planning and birthday planning, that then that's something that's definitely for them. So I think people have to be very strategic too and figure out, you know, if where they want to lease one, if the lease is cheap, if it'll be efficient, if it'll work for you. Also, if there's not much competition around you, there's so many places now. So that's definitely something to consider. And then managing also a very large cast can be very draining too.
I know so many girls out there who work for numerous different people, and that, and on the one side, it's really nice that they're getting work and I'm happy that they're getting work. And on the other side, you know, you don't, have the option of having like one single performer who's dedicated to just you. So I think it definitely does take a certain person to be able to get that bug and to hold on to it and like love it. And like, I love the side of planning. I love everything from setting up and decor to making spreadsheets and planning the event. It, like, oh my God, I love
bless
all
your
of
soul
so much.
Bless your soul. I don't know how you do it.
Well, and I think it just takes a certain type of person. And, you know, it took me a really long time to figure out that passion. And it wasn't until that I really moved to Cleveland that I really saw like where my passions were and like where they lie. And when I started working for the event company here, which is called Party 411, when I started doing a lot of events with them, we did such a broad range of interesting events and things and like set up from like these huge healthcare galas to weddings to fun parties that they would have in Tower City and like all these little things that were just they all have very similar like ideas, but they were also vastly different, and it's interesting to see like how each party is planned differently. And I just love all aspects of it. So I think it took until actually seeing it for me to like know how much I loved it. I was already like doing little bits and pieces of it, but not to like the scale that they were. And I think it will be a long time before if I ever get to the scale that they are. But
what I don't understand about myself is that even though I did not like having the princess parties in the venue and planning all of that, I really enjoyed coordinating our tea parties. Cause we used to do like a full-on production for the tea parties. And I really enjoyed that. And I really enjoyed planning that. And once it was over, I felt like a part of me was missing and I wanted to do it all over again.
Cause you had like, you put in like a dance studio with big mirrors and like curtains that were over the mirrors that I think that you would hide whenever you're using the room.
Yeah.
Is that
so
right?
On the event side part of it, we had the big mirrors specifically, and I wanted those, one, to make the room bigger, second, because for rehearsals for our tea parties, because we used to rent halls or like a little garden area at our golf course here in the city of Downey, but we used to rehearse there, and I specifically wanted those because I also knew that eventually I wanted to host like some sort of like ballet classes with the princesses. So yeah, we used to rehearse there, and I did have the mirrors.
But I love that. I would watch your stories where you had your characters, like, there's like one in particular, I think, that had like Flynn Rider, and you guys were doing like a Rapunzel show. And I loved you guys' shows. And I know that you did Beauty and the Beast several different times.
Oh my God, that was my favorite. I actually do miss that.
And I would, Belle would come out, and then like Gaston would come out, and it was just great. And then you had Ladies in Waiting, didn't you? That's so cool. So we just added our first Lady in Waiting in March, and we're planning on adding more because we're doing more events a specific way. We have a specific way now that we're running event. It's really weird. It's like we have our own equation, and so one of the like pieces in our equation had to do with Ladies in Waiting, and I've wanted them for years.
They bring like some sort of magic, like a different sort of like level of magic when they're with the characters. I just think it makes it much more believable than just having someone in a t-shirt with the company logo on it. Yeah.
Freaking 1,000%. I also believe that to have them and they're colorful and they're also in full makeup and they have wigs and they are like, ours has a flower crown and it's just this like little piece of magic. You're right. Other than just seeing people that are assisting running around in a t-shirt.
It makes it more believable for the children too, because it makes the children believe that they traveled from here with those that live in the castle with them. So we used to call them fair maidens. And yeah, so even when we used to do our meet and greets or have like some sort of like city events, I would go along and I would either have like a company t-shirt, but I always made sure they were the ones working directly with the clients and the children and the princesses. And I just kind of stood back to watch everything and make sure that everything was going smoothly. But
you're kind of like the mediator.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. That's also almost always my job too. I'm like the mediator. At one of our events recently, that we had our lady in waiting at, she was so cute, and she's like doing this, like, actually I think she was like a fairy and godmother in training that day. So she's doing like these cute little like bibbidi bobbidi boutique makeovers, and she's putting glitter on kids' faces and whatever, and being just cute and adorable. And I had her lead some of the songs and dancing and stuff. And so I made her like a part of the show and like made her a character, and I'm running around and playing like photographer and DJ and also mediator. And I was like, oh man, I love my job.
That was always so much fun to do. I love doing the photography for when, and just capturing all of those magical moments with the children. It's always so much fun.
Do you have a favorite moment that you like to capture?
I think I really like to capture the hugs. The hugs and that first interaction, because you see that pure joy on the children's face. Like, I'm in front of Anna and Elsa right now. So that's my favorite moment to capture.
All right. And speaking on like capturing the moment and like keeping the magic alive, one of the things that I know that you do, and we mentioned it a second ago too, is you also style all of your own wigs. Mm-hmm. So how did you get into that? Like, what was your motivation behind that? And like, where did you really start? Because I know that like you did not start off a wig stylist. Like, how did you develop these skills, and like, where did they come from, and how did you learn? And because I know that there's a lot of people that might not necessarily want to like, just style their own wigs, but learning how to at least restyle.
So I think it's kind of different for us, because we started this industry when there was no such thing as, there were wig stylists, but there were very, very little. There were maybe about a handful of, not even a handful, I would say like a couple wig stylists.
I think that there were Lisa Fabio, Tracy Hines, Charming Violet. I'm trying to like name off the ones that are like old school, like Hollywood wigs.
Yes, rip in peace. They're out.
Love some Hollywood. So many people have asked, they're like, where did your Rapunzel wig come from? And I'm like, I got that. She was closing. I am the last princess order she ever did.
So I think because we started our companies at such like a time when we didn't have people commissioning wigs left and right, and you're able to buy dresses off of and have it shipped from like friggin' China. I think it forced us to be a little bit more innovative and learn how to do the wigs yourself. And then also because I also knew that if I were to ship it out, like ship a wig out, I would have to have another replacement for it, because it can take some time for the style to come back. And then also to pay someone to restyle, I was like, it's so much money to send the wigs out, especially when they're used so often. And I really didn't want to pay for someone to do that. But then also because there weren't a lot of wig stylists back then, I decided to take up that challenge and do it myself too. And then the thing about me is that I don't really like to rely on people. I like to do everything myself and make sure that everything is done the way I want it to be done. I think the first wig I ever tried to style was Elsa's wig when the movie came out. And my mom and I were trying to figure that thing out, and we could not. I even started crying because I was like, I cannot get this. She looks so bad. And so,
that is such a mood.
It was so frustrating, but it honestly took about four or five years for me to really learn how to do the wigs. And I was up for the challenge, and I've always liked doing hair for some reason. And then when more wig stylists started coming out, and they would kind of, would put like little clips how to style wigs, then I would try to mimic that, and I would watch a lot of YouTube videos. And I also think it's easier for me too, because since I live in LA County, there's so many wig places around here that I can literally just get up and go and buy a base and style it myself. So that's how I started. I didn't want to pay someone to do the wigs for me, and then I was also very picky. I don't like to rely on people, and so I just took up the challenge and I did it myself. And it took me so long to learn, but here I am now, and I can do wigs now.
No, and I think that's a really important skill that you have to kind of pick up as a wig stylist. I've been trying to get a little bit better at styling all of ours personally, at least doing the restyles. I may buy a wig from somebody, but, you know, like at least doing the restyles is so important because I don't have time to send it out to somebody else. Like I don't have time to send it out and wait for it, even though, you know, I have multiples of different wigs. If I need a certain wig back, and not like a live events or, you know, thriving right now or anything, but I am that person that has like, oh, I have five Cinderella dresses and three wigs. So I can at least have three Cinderellas out at one time. But at the same time, like, what if, what if, what if I don't have that many and I don't have multiples of every single character. And I know that a lot of other companies don't even have multiples of,
I don't have
like one character.
At all.
Yeah. It's like, it's hard when you're trying to do stuff and you're like, well, I cannot send that character out to get restyled because I need her for the next five weekends. And you cannot just not book a character. So that's kind of one of the skills I feel like that people have to pick up and learn kind of along the way. So it's really important to kind of adapt those skills as a business owner. And kind of going off that, so I am just like so curious about this. When you hire a person who, because in LA, it's totally different than how it is for like just about anybody else in the rest of the country, because you guys have such a saturated market, which is also, which is like, it's a good thing and a bad thing because I feel like you guys get a lot more business than a lot of other people might, because everybody knows that it like exists versus like somewhere in, you know, a small town in Utah might not. People are blown away that princesses are, you know, in the next town over, and the princess company's like, yeah, I've been here for 5 years. Surprise. But when you have somebody that you send out, what are kind of your basic rules for that performer wearing your costume and only working for you and wearing just your costume for the gigs that you book? Like, what do you kind of, so do you get my question?
Are you kind of,
do you
get what I'm asking? Might be using my stuff for another company?
Yes, that's kind of like my question. And I, you know, I know that there's a lot of companies, like you guys share performers, and like, it's not like you have knives at each other's throats or anything, like underlying policy. And like, I have a girl that I share with another company as well. And, you know, it's just kind of like an unspoken thing for us where I'm just like, you know, stuff for like on somebody else's birthday party, like, you know, just like don't do it.
So
just because I feel like there's like a quality difference between different companies,
for sure.
Yeah, so kind of what is kind of like your policy on,
well,
that
the thing is, I don't run into that issue. I don't know if I would be any help to other companies that don't have a physical location, but since I have a physical location and I have a studio, my girls come and get ready there. They come and get ready there for the day. And then at the end of the day, they come and drop everything off again. And then they go home. Because all of our parties are, I try not to take parties that are over an hour away. And our parties are very super close. So it's really rare if my performer has to take a costume home. So they just get ready there. And, so I mean, they know not to do it, but I don't run into that issue just because they get ready at my studio.
No, I think that's really good. I know that there's a lot of people that have a requirement that you get ready at a certain location. And like, and for a while that was ours when we did have a venue, you know, like you come and you pick up the costume and you can get ready on location and then you can go do your gig and then bring it back. As of like where we are right now for the last year and a half ish. Yeah. Almost 2 years now. We have been running all of our stuff, all of our costumes and stuff out of a storage unit. And it's a super, we were lucky enough that we were one of the first people to move in there. So because it was a brand new storage unit. It's like carpeted, nice place where you can pull your car into a deck and like unload everything so you're not out in the wind and the rain and the snow, because it snows here in Ohio. That's really like, it's really, really nice. And you can get to rest there. They have like a really nice bathroom area. I've gotten ready like in the storage unit itself because I'm a heathen. But, you know, like, I don't expect everyone to, like, want to do that. And I know that I have a couple of girls who live over an hour away or 45 minutes. And they're like, hey, like, I have free time on Thursday. Can I just come pick up my costume early and, like, whatever? So, you know, that's how kind of, like, we operate. But I think it's interesting just hearing how other companies, businesses kind of operate and run their things. Like, their business is a little bit differently. I think that's really cool.
Yeah,
I've
also never been comfortable with the idea of having people take my company property home unless I super like trust them. I have two performers right now that I trust them to the moon and back. So they have a couple of costumes right now because we're doing the virtual calls. But I mean, other than that, they also don't live very far from me. So I make sure that when I cast someone that they're very much local to me. Because I don't want to run into any issues. But I always knew that I never wanted my performers to take my costumes home because I'm very particular with my stuff, especially my dresses, because they're one of a kind dresses. Nobody has my dresses. So, and I know that if your performer isn't careful, they can mess up your costume and they might put it back in the bag or hang it weird. And then it gets all wrinkled and eek. No, I prefer not. So which is why I have the rule of you come and you get ready at the studio and they leave their clothes there all day long. They leave their lunch there. They leave their shoes there, everything there. And then at the end of the day, they come back and they undress and they go home.
But I also think that's really great that you have that safe space and that safe environment. Because I remember when I was first starting this, I made this joke recently to somebody, like how many times I've gotten changed in my car and how many times I've gotten changed in like the weirdest places. It's just like, I think it's nice that there's a place that they can go and like switch characters and get changed. Now, when you're doing something, do you book your performers for like all day long? And so they have like bell gigs from like the beginning of the like starting at like 10:30 in the morning running all the way through, you know, like 6 p.m. Are they that one character all day long, or do you have girls that switch
it
out?
Depends on what's being booked for that day, but I do try to put my performers in characters that make sense for the day. But even when I'm booking the parties, I make sure that I have that gap in between so that they can get ready in peace, because I don't want them to change in their car. I want them to be able to come back and get ready and go to their parties in peace and not have to worry about taking off a wig in their car and taking off their bodice in a car. Yeah.
Oh, it's terrible. It is terrible and I hate it, and then 10 out of 10 do not recommend it.
Yeah. So, also when booking parties, if I have a bell party, like let's say at 12 p.m., but then I have someone else that wants bell for 3 p.m. just because, even though they can push it back, I will always try to have the client move the time. That way it makes sense for my performer as well. I always try to maneuver the parties to what makes sense, what's easier for us and what's easier for my performers. But sometimes if I'm not able to do that, then I at least make sure that there's enough space, enough time for my characters to switch into another character and come and get ready at the studio.
It's great that you have a physical location that your performers can get dressed and ready at. I know that I personally prefer that. I love having a location where people can get dressed and ready at. And I cannot even begin to tell you me counting down the like days of actually like having a house again. I'm so excited. I'm so excited about having a house where I have a space for my performers to get ready at. I'm so ready. Kind of going off that note, what are some lessons that you have learned about this industry and children's entertainment?
Oh Jesus, what haven't I learned? I feel like I learned the hard way. I think my biggest lesson being in this industry, and I think it's just my journey in this industry, is staying true to who you are and staying firm on your feet, and don't allow for other people to come in and sway that. And don't try to please others, whether that those are the clients or your performers, because that can leave you very unhappy. I went through that a lot. the biggest lesson that I learned is always staying true to myself, doing whatever makes me happy, and not allowing for other people to sway that. Yeah, which is why I decided to close the venue and switch it over to another business. Oh, also, I think we need to stop with thinking that local companies are competition, because they can very much be your friends and help you out. So I have a lot of competition here in SoCal, but I'm actually really good friends with a lot of the owners here. And if I ever need something, they step in and vice versa. We've even gone to lunch to like chat about business. And so I think we need to break down that barrier, thinking that just because there's a company that's local to you, that they're immediately competition. And I think we need to really get rid of that mentality, because we're all here to help one another, and it's not possible for you to cover every single party in your city or in your county. I used to be very anti, want to be friends with local competitors. In the beginning, when I first started, I wanted to take all of the business, and I would constantly see what everyone else is doing. And I felt like that hindered me a lot from growing myself and growing my business. It wasn't until I was able to release that mentality was that we really started to flourish, and I was able to do things more, more original and with more happiness too. So,
oh, I feel like it's such an amazing way to learn, is from people who not only understand your industry, but also understand your personal area that you're in. So I think that it's wonderful when you can make friends with people who understand on such a physical and like mental level of everything you're going through. It's just like, oh yeah, you know, like there's a certain tax on this city, and it's like, oh,
yeah,
you can talk about that. Where like nobody else would like really understand that, and really understand what you're going through. And whereas like somebody locally to you can, we have a friend who's local, that we go to dinner with on occasion and talk about stuff. And it's really nice when you can break down those walls and really start to connect, because you can also learn so much from people too. And that's something I think that I love about being able to talk to people who are quote unquote your like competition.
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, what is something about this industry that you love? Like, what is your favorite part about this industry overall?
Mm. Oh, man. Okay. Let me think. And I'm going to be very blunt and honest that right now, especially with COVID-19, I'm not too sure.
But I love that that's a real answer. It's hard. I feel this in my soul where you're like, I'm not sure what I love right now. I feel that. I feel that.
You know what? Something that I love about the industry, you know what? I honestly can't even tell you. What I enjoy, though, is bringing a character to life. I really enjoy that. And I love my performers that I have at the moment. And I feel like they make it worthwhile. They're actually the ones that keep me going. With wanting to keep booking parties. I haven't been out to a single party in a long time.
Well, I think that's perfectly fine, because I feel like a lot of people are also in that boat. And I think that's a very relatable answer.
Like, I'm not trying to like put up a front and give like people, you know, like an answer that's not true. I mean, you know, I'm very transparent and I'll say it the way it is. And honestly, right now I'm just kind of trying to figure that out. I mean, I think just the thing that I love about the industry is just the princesses in general, because it's something that I've always been so obsessed with. And then my performers just keep me going, because I absolutely love them. And I know that they love what they do and what we do.
So kind of spiraling off that a little bit, who is your biggest influence or inspiration? Mm-hmm. And it can be anybody. It can be like an inspirational person that you look up to. It can be like a family member. It can be somebody special in your life. It doesn't have to be a company. If you have a company that you're like, oh, I love this company so much, like that's perfectly fine too. But it can literally be anybody. Like who just inspires you? So
company wise, I am totally obsessed right now with, I think her name is her name Cody? She does wigs. Is that her name?
I think I know who you're talking about. Yeah.
Her company right now. I think her princesses are adorable. Her wigs are amazing. Her photos are amazing. Her marketing is amazing. And then someone that I look up to in my life would be my mom. My mama has always been my best friend. She will always be my best friend. She always pushes me and she always believes in me. She never doubts anything that I want to do. Whatever I want to do, she supports me and she's there holding my hand the entire way.
As we are coming closer to kind of the end of this, mm-hmm. I know that we talked about COVID a little bit in the beginning, but what are some of the things that you are planning on doing when it comes to live events? Like where, like, I know you're in the process of like figuring everything out, but like kind of where do you think that things are going to go and what's your game plan?
So with LA, we have no idea how long this is going to go for because they just extended it another 3 months. We had a FaceTime call with my performers to talk about it a bit. I think I saw a thread about face masks that they're going to require, or they're trying to figure out if they're going to require the princesses to wear face masks. I don't think I'm for it. And I think it is going to affect us. I think because a lot of people are also out of work, I'm not sure if everyone will have just money lying around to throw at entertainment for parties. I know a lot of people are still in work. I've gotten already a couple of requests to have princesses resume like their parties. And I'm like, no, dude, it's like too soon. I'm not going to do that. So mm-hmm. I don't know how long it's going to take. We already have kind of like a game plan of what we want to do. And I think I actually want to start offering Fair Maidens for every single birthday party again, just because I think the Fair Maidens can kind of be that person that's able to kind of regulate the party without the princesses having to do that. Mm-hmm. So something that we talked about is absolutely no face painting, at least until I don't mm-hmm. even know when, but absolutely no face painting for at least like another year. And we only want to offer our parties because what can you really do in 2 hours if you're not going to kill time with like face painting and makeovers? And so we, mm-hmm. we also want to implement making sure, because we already have in our contracts that the parents have to have like a designated area for the princesses and for the children, but they don't always. So what something that we talked about is making sure that these parents, one, have like a set amount of like guests that are joining the party and a certain amount of children. So we are not just going to take, if someone's throwing a party for 100 guests, we're not going to take that party because I don't want to put my characters at risk, my performers at risk. So we definitely want to mm-hmm. regulate like how many guests people are inviting. And I think a maiden would be a good kind of like that person that's able to regulate the parties. So we want to have a designated area that's specifically mm-hmm. only for the children and the princess, that's away from the party, that's away from other adults. And we definitely want to limit physical touch. I think we only want to focus maybe on the birthday mm-hmm. girl, just doing a hug with the birthday girl, photos with the birthday girl. We could do a group photo with the children, but there will absolutely be like no touching with like family portraits of like the guest of the birthday girl or the birthday child. So we want to make sure that there's a designated mm-hmm. area to make sure that there's social distancing going on. And then we also want to limit our characters needing to touch like a speaker or a phone. They're not allowed to bring like their phones out. They usually will just like reach into their bag to play music. So we want to have like an automated list that's like an hour long so that they know like, oh, when this song is playing, we're at 15 minutes. When this song is playing, it's time to sing Let It Go. When this song is playing, it's time to sing Happy Birthday. And when this song is playing, it's time to start saying goodbye. So they're not touching their personal items. And also making sure that we are mm-hmm. providing sanitizing wipes and hand sanitizer. But yeah, mm-hmm. so those are kind of our plans to move forward after COVID-19. Do we know when we're going to open back up? Absolutely no idea. Because I thought we were maybe going to start in the next 2 months, but now they extended the social distancing and the staying at home for at least another 3 months. So who knows when we're going to be able to resume back to business.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And at this point, there really is no telling. There is no telling how long this is all going to take in retrospect.
So what is your prediction after, do you think the party industry is going to take a hit? Do you think we're going to come back? What do you think?
So I think it's going to be a little bit of both. I think that we are definitely going to take a hit if we haven't already taken a hit. I think that it's going to take a while for parties to start back up the way that we're used to them starting back up. We've already started talking, like one of our top clients who she's hired us for numerous things. We've visited her daughter in the hospital, like, mm-hmm. I don't know, 3 or 4 times now. And she comes to all of our princess balls and events. And her daughter's birthday party is in at the, like, the very end of June. Mm-hmm. I think it's like June 27th. And she has Toy Story. So she has Buzz, Woody, and Jessie who are scheduled to come. And, you know, like, we've been watching all of this. And because she obviously, like, she booked in, I don't know, like January for her daughter's birthday, almost in like at the very end of June. So hers was one of the farthest out birthday parties that we had, because she booked in like either the beginning of January or the end of December. So like one of the like furthest out ones we had. And so like we've been watching it the whole time, and all of our other parties, you know, like we've canceled, and like we're still trying to figure out, you know, if the end of June we're going to be able to do this party, even if it's just, you know, our characters and just like Gigi. And I think that if we do go back to doing birthday parties, I think that it's going to be one of those things where it's going to have to be very, very small gatherings. Like, normally our birthday party limit is like 15 kids. And it's always been a smaller number just for management style. And like what we can handle and what we think our performers can handle. And so I think that that's going to have to be cut down to very small, intimate numbers. And instead of like 15 kids, it's going to have to be like, oh no, there's like 15 people total allowed. So I think that that's definitely going to be something that everybody has to look at. And of course, like everybody's state is different. Like everybody's governor is going to issue different numbers based on, I guess, like how the state is doing, based on the fact, like if you're a red state, like obviously you can't have gatherings more than like 10 people. So I think that it's just going to boil down to what everyone's states allow them to do. But as for a total of like doing birthday parties, I think that there's a lot of people who have lost their jobs in the process of this. And I think it's going to take time for a parent to recover, to be able to afford, you know, to have a princess come to a birthday party or to have Spider-Man. It's going to be a while before we do princess balls again. That's a large amount of people. And we were discussing this. We have a team of 4 people that we meet weekly we meet weekly. And then we have a group chat where we're always like talking. We're always sharing notes and stuff. And one of the things that we had talked about was like a game plan on princess balls, because, you know, we're used to doing those every couple of months. I mean, we normally do like 3 or 4 a year minimum. And so, you know, and that doesn't even count like the little princess events that we do with like 3 to 4 characters. There's definitely going to be this huge standstill, not just in the party community, but in the live events industry as a whole. And I think that it's going to take some time to build up back to that, which is, you know, it's hard and it's devastating. And it's like, it's so frustrating, because I feel like we're all working really, really hard to stay alive. And I think that we're just going to have to keep coming up with new ideas on how we can stay present and stay in the public eye without losing our visibility within our communities. How have virtual
calls been going for you? Because I know you're offering those.
They're okay. They're not great. There's this market with virtual calls. I feel like it's so saturated that it's just one of those things where I'm like, you know, we are all competing against each other. Like there is not a single company in the world right now who is not competing with each other for live streams.
Yeah. And then I think the tricky thing with virtual calls too, is that a client from here can hire someone in Michigan or Tennessee, you know, and they can be charging mm-hmm. like a fraction of what I'm mm-hmm. charging. So of course he just might go to that company. So yeah, no, yeah, mm-hmm. I feel the same way.
So I think it's just one of those things where it's like, for some people, it's working out really great. For others, it's just kind of like, eh, we are not dependent on it mm-hmm. to keep us alive and keep us surviving. Like, my husband and I are very fortunate that I was mm-hmm. the only person in our family that lost an income. My husband was able to keep his job through all of this. In fact, my husband got a new job in all of this, which is bananas, which we were very incredibly, incredibly fortunate for. Even though I've lost my income, we're not over here starving. We got very fortunate with that. Whereas like, there's a lot of other people, and my heart goes out to mm-hmm. all of the people who are incredibly dependent on their companies, because if I was just by myself and I was full-time, like I would be struggling. I would be struggling really, really hard right now. And I've always been, and I hate being the person who's like, oh, I'm dependent on my spouse right now. Like, I hate that. I'm the one who lost the job in all of this. And so I'm just like the aww. Little butterfly just floating along right now. Like, help me, help me. I'm just trying to stay in the air. But in reality, I'm like, it's funny because I am making so much less than I've ever made, and yet I am working harder
yeah,
right now.
I think right now is a time for people to get really creative. This is a time, we have time right now, get super mm-hmm. creative and figure out what you're going to do. And I think people need to have another game plan besides just their party company. Because we don't know how long this is going to go for it, or if things are even going to go back mm-hmm. to normal. First I was very excited to go into quarantine because I was like, I get a break. I get to relax for a bit. I want to go into quarantine. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, I was super bummed because we were so busy in the beginning of the year before all of this hit. And I'm like, I'm so excited for the summer. My performers are going to get so many parties, da 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 da, you know? And then this hit, and
we had
a ton of parties for March. And I had to pretty much reschedule all of them because I even started rescheduling before the stay-at-home order was in place mm-hmm. because I didn't want to, you know, put my performers through that or even expose them. So I was excited to go into quarantine, mm-hmm. but then I was also bummed because we were so busy in the beginning of the year that I knew this year was going to be just great. And then all of this just kind of like came and took yep. everything. But I think people need to have a game plan and figure something yep. out and get extremely creative and do not rely on your party company and try to figure out, well, what else can you do or what else can you offer that will bring some more income? Because I think it's going to take a toll on party companies, entertainment companies, luxuries that people purchase or hire for birthday parties, because people are not going to have that disposable income mm-hmm. to just drop like $300 on a 2-hour princess party or something.
Yeah. Yeah. That's totally flipped on its head now. And it's sad and it's heartbreaking, but at the same time, like, you know, this is our new normal and this is our new reality, and it's, you know, you can't just sit and cry in the yeah. corner about it for the next 3 months. Take a day, cry in the corner,
and figure it out.
We'll give you 24 hours. Go cry in the corner, 24 hours. Yep. And then come back yeah. with a sketchbook and a pen and, you know, start from scratch.
Yeah, for sure.
That's what I feel like we're all at right now. We're mm-hmm. starting from scratch, figuring out the game plan.
Okay.
All right. So I've got two more questions for you. So the first one is, what does the phrase boss like a girl mean to you?
Well, I think, honestly, okay, so boss like a girl, how can I word this? I think women are more badass than men. and I think we can put up with so much more and we can handle mm-hmm. so much more. And I think boss like a girl, I think it pretty much means putting your girl pants on and getting to business, and slaying at whatever it is that, mm-hmm. that you're a boss babe at. And I think women are extremely powerful. And I also think it's being 100% authentic to yourself and true to you.
I love that. I think that's great. And one of my favorite parts about asking that question is how different the answers
just
are.
Like, and women are so powerful. I feel like we're capable of so much more than what men are. I don't know, for some reason.
Oh, we do, for sure. We have a higher pain
for
tolerance.
For sure.
So, like, that is a proven thing.
I love
like
this wave of women entrepreneurship and women empowerment. I'm so glad that we're over that, like, tearing each other down. It's all about empowering one another now and lifting each other. And also when you help other people, especially other boss babes, I mean, it's good karma, you know? You bless others and mm-hmm. you're blessed yourself. So,
100%.
Yeah.
You get that blessings
sure.
back. I fully believe in that mantra. Mm-hmm. All right. So my last question of the day is, what is a lasting impression that you want to have in this industry?
A lasting impression that I would like to have in this industry. I think originality and authenticity, originality with, I pride myself a lot with, having, costumes that a lot of people don't have because I don't make them. I have a seamstress that makes them. I nitpick every single fabric and I purchase everything myself. And authenticity and just not being afraid to be yourself and speak up whenever you feel like something isn't right. And just because someone, or let's say everyone in the industry is doing something and you feel it's not right, it's okay to speak your truth and to do things different and don't feel like you have to go with what everyone is doing. It's okay to stay true to yourself and go the route that you feel is best for yourself and your company, of course.
I love that. Oh, I love that so much. Yes. Just like 100%, like, you know, when people are like, oh, mm-hmm. snaps. That's what I feel like. Like, yes, snap to that. I love it. Well, thank you so much for coming
thank
on today.
You.
Thank you for sharing a piece of your heart with us. And yeah, I loved talking to you. And
yeah,
I think this is our first time
is.
Ever talking
we've,
to the
I
phone.
Mean,
so I was very excited.
Back and forth on Messenger. I don't even know for how many years, but. This is the first time on the phone. So I'm so happy and so grateful that you had me on the podcast. Thank you for holding space for me and allowing me to just share.
Yes, of course. Well, you have a wonderful rest of your day.
So
and
excited. Thank
I
you
will
again
let you know when we go live.
Stay safe and slay the quarantine.
You're welcome.
All right, babe. Bye.
So a huge thank you to Natalie for coming onto our show. And most of you are probably wondering about a little bit of the overlap. There was a little bit of a time gap. You know, I have downloaded this same soundtrack 3 times and I have gotten the same result every single time where for some reason the audio just overlaps. And my guess is it's probably just the program that I used this time. It doesn't always happen, but it happened this time. So I just want to apologize for that. And a lot of you are also probably wondering that you heard us talking about what's happening in June. Yes, I did record this episode in like the very beginning of June. And I still think that it was very relevant to what's still happening and what's still going on. So I think that you all deserve to hear it because Natalie is so inspirational and had a lot of wonderful things to say and talk about. So I wanted to keep it on here, even though it has been a little while since we had last talked. But thank you guys so much for being on today. Thank you for staying. Thank you for sharing a piece of your heart with us and taking time to listen to this podcast. Please remember that if you really enjoy listening to us, to hop on over to iTunes and give us a like, share a comment with us, tell us how much you're enjoying us, and share with all your princess friends. All right, everyone, have a magical rest of your day. Love you lots. We'll see you next week.